turn with me to Lord's Day 44. Lord's Day 44, which is found on page 45. There are going to be three questions here, and we're going to be focusing on the 10th commandment, but also summarizing how we are to approach the commandments as a whole. And so let's recite the answers to Lord's Day 44. What does the 10th commandment require? That not even the least inclination or thought against any commandment of God ever enter our heart, but with our whole heart we continually hate all sin and take pleasure in all righteousness. Can those who are converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? No, not even the holiest men. While in this life have only a small beginning of such obedience, yet so that with earnest purpose they begin to live not only according to some, but according to all of the commandments of God. Why then does God so strictly enjoin the 10 commandments upon us, since in this life no one can keep them? First, that as long as we live, we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and so the more earnestly seek forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. Second, that without ceasing, we diligently ask God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may be renewed more and more after the image of God, until we attain the goal of perfection after this life. The 10th commandment is, in many ways, summarizes all of the commandments. In fact, I'll use Paul as a quick example, as the Pharisee of all Pharisees, right? He saw himself as if anyone could have met the mark of perfect righteousness, it was him, right? The perfect Jew, the perfect Pharisee. But if you read Romans 7, that famous passage about Paul, the Apostle Paul, struggling in his faith, the things that I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. The commandment that he brings up is the 10th commandment, and how by the 10th commandment he struggled, and in that he recognized his evil desires, because covetousness is all about the motivations behind our actions. Now, yes, there's a difference between desire and there's a difference between coveting. Desire, in the most part, can be neutral or negative. You know, positive or negative. We can desire good things and bad things. Covetousness never is neutral, though. Covetousness is all about discontentment with what you have or where you are at because someone else has what you have. So that's why in the 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's anything. Anything that belongs to your neighbors. Donkey, wife, you know, all those things. You know, so something that someone else possesses can become something that we covet. To covet is to grasp for something that we don't already have, that we think that is entitled to us, that we think that we deserve to have for one reason or another. You know, why can't we be under a better living situation? Don't I work hard enough? Aren't I a good enough Christian? Why am I living with all these challenges and difficulties? Why am I so poor? Or why does my job, suck so bad? You know, why can't I be like that person who has it easier? You know, we come up with all kinds of scenarios of discontentment in our hearts. But the reason why I say the 10th commandment summarizes all the other ones is because it goes behind the actions. So we're called to not worship any other gods. All the 9 commandments, if you follow them superficially, you can keep them, which is not really keeping them. But you can have the appearance of keeping the first 9 commandments. Well, I'm going to the right church with the right doctrines. You know, I'm not sleeping with anybody else. I'm honoring my parents. I can have this appearance. But covetousness has everything to do with the heart and what goes on in the mind. So not only are we called to not worship other gods, but we're called not even to desire to worship any other gods. Not only are we called to honor our parents, we're also called to not desire to dishonor our parents. Not only to not commit adultery, but we can't even desire or have lust in our hearts, Jesus says in Matthew 5. So the desires can become sinful. And so that's where this commandment lies. And so it humbles us, and just like it humbled Paul, that if this is true, that I'm recognizing all of these sinful thoughts and motivations and desires, who can be saved? Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Which is a perfect segue into the last two questions and answers of Lord's Day 44. Because we all, when we become students of the Word, when we become more mature in our Christian faith, the more we understand sin and God's holiness. We sing, holy, holy, holy. But I guarantee you, the first year, when you become a Christian, when you sing, holy, 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 30 years later, as you mature in the Christian life and the Christian faith, that same song that you sung for 30 years, it's not going to mean the same thing. It's going to have a deeper meaning. You're going to have a greater understanding of what it means to serve a holy God. And so that's what Paul is rubbing up against. As he's maturing and he's struggling with his own faith, as he understands God in his holiness, he recognizes of his need for Jesus Christ. And so that's why God in his wisdom, as soon as we're saved, he doesn't just transport us back to heaven. I mean, he could design it that way, but he did it in such a way where even after we have been justified, even after we have put our faith in Christ, we still live through this life and we still are saint and sinner at the same time. We still fall into sin, right? And so the main point is that it drives us back to Jesus Christ, because that's how Paul ends that question. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through his son, Jesus Christ. And then right after that, at the end of Romans 7 is Romans 8, verse 1, where he says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The condemning power of sin does not have any hold on our lives. Even though we will fall into it, we will struggle with it for the rest of our lives until the day we die. But the power of sin will be less and less because we recognize God's sufficient power and grace in the gospel more and more. And so that's really where Christian maturity happens. And that's really what the catechism is getting at, especially a question asked at 115, that we learn more and more about our sinful nature, more earnestly seek forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ, and we diligently seek after the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may be renewed more and more. To put it simple, God's will for your life, in the details, I can't speak from the pulpit what that is, right? But I know God's will for your life is to shape you in the image of his son, Jesus Christ. To shape and mold you in the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That doesn't happen through a snap. You know, it doesn't happen just, it happens through a process, a day by day battle as we depend more and more on his grace, on his mercies, on his promises that he gives us to sustain us. And so let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 44 with that.